بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كتاب التوحيد Whoever denies any of the names or attributes of Allah سبحانه وتعالى الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه وسلم اللهم علمنا ربنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وحكمة وهدى وآتي نفوسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم أسألك أن توفقنا لما تحبه وترضى اللهم صل على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد respected brothers in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته I'd like to welcome all of you inshallah for tonight's halaqa program on the book Kitab al-Tawheed or the book regarding the Tawheed and the belief in the oneness of Allah. And this is the commentary by our great Shaykh. His name is Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi. May Allah have mercy upon his soul. And he gave this commentary on the book by Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah. And it's basically explaining the different aspects of the belief that is the haqq of Allah on His creation. What are the things that we're required to believe in? And what are the things, if we do them, they negate our belief in Allah? Or they make us become out of that tawheed? This is basically what we've been studying in the last few chapters. And does anybody remember the last chapter that we covered? Does anybody recall from last week?
The way you sit, the prayer.
Okay, that was good. That was in the previous class, yes, on the fiqh. But actually in the tawheed class last time, we covered a lesson which was entitled, Whoever obeys the scholars and leaders in prohibiting what Allah has allowed or allowing what Allah has prohibited. And one of the things that was very important to emphasize here is that what is meant here is not any disrespect for the ulama, but actually what is meant here is when the people, when their so-called leaders and religious leaders who change the law of Allah for the people. This is what happened in the Christian and Jewish tradition. The rabbis and the priests, they change the law of Allah, and so our obedience to our leaders and our scholars is because of their obedience to Allah. We obey them because they show us how to obey Allah. This is the correct tartib, or the correct order. We shouldn't say, I'm going to obey this leader even if he tells me to disobey Allah. Is that correct to do that? Say that there's a religious leader or a worldly leader and he says, eat pork.
No.
So we do not obey them because they cannot change the law of Allah. The law of Allah comes first. However, what we should understand is that who best understands the Islamic law? Who best understands the Quran and the Sunnah? The scholars do. So for a person to make a judgment and argue with the ulama, then actually he is not putting the Quran and Sunnah first, he's putting his feelings, his hawa, first. Because whatever he feels, he says this is the ruling. And he's not basing it on proper knowledge. So this is not what is meant at all by Shaykh Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah. And Shaykh Al-Sa'adi, he points this out, that what is meant here is that in the right to legislate, the right to legislate and to make rules and to give the judgment, the hukum, this only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. I think, yes, you were here last time, perhaps you remember that. So the right to give judgment belongs to Allah and His Messenger. But who are the people who interpret the law of Allah? Those are the ulama. So we go to the ulama because they interpret and they show us the judgment of Allah in our everyday affairs. We don't have the ability to study all of the texts to become experts in Sharia overnight. You know how some people, they might read a couple books, go on a website or read a fatwa, and suddenly they become overnight experts in the Sharia. We cannot do that as students of knowledge. We have to go to the ulama and not have a doubt, you know, think that, oh, maybe they don't know, I know better, because then we won't learn from them. And this has been our tradition from the earliest times, to have the devotion and the love for our shuyukh. May Allah have mercy on all of them. So let us, inshallah, go to the next chapter, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And this chapter here is also regarding one of the things that would negate the iman. The previous chapter, if somebody judges by other than the law of Allah, he goes out of the fold of Islam. Remember, we heard the story of Umar, when a man, there was a two people who were arguing. One was a hypocrite, one was a Muslim. And the hypocrite, he said, let's go and go to the Jew to judge for us. And the Muslim, he said, no, let's go to Prophet Muhammad SAW. So then they went, both of them, to Umar radiallahu anhu. And they said, Umar, what is your judgment in this case? He wants to go to a Jew to get our judgment, and I want to go to the Messenger of Allah. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he said to the hypocrite, really, you don't want to get the judgment of Prophet Muhammad SAW? You refuse it? You don't believe in it? He said, no, I don't want his judgment. So Umar took a sword, he said, this is the judgment. He struck him on the neck, because he committed the apostasy, and he rebelled against the law, and he judged by other than the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that is the judgment in that case, because he committed kufr by doing that. And this is why the story is mentioned here, is by a person not believing that the judgment of Allah is the right judgment, that is kufr. Some people, they say Islam doesn't apply in this day and age. That judgment, those laws were for the 14 centuries ago. Today we have to modernize the laws. We can't go by the Quran and Sunnah anymore. We need to come up with new ideas. This belief that the law of Islam cannot apply, or it's no longer suitable for the day and age, the modern age, this is kufr. Because we must know that Allah is the Hakim. He's the most wise. Whatever laws He sent down, they are suitable from now until the Yawm al-Qiyamah. Yes, because He's not sending any other prophet, and He perfected His Sharia with the coming of the Prophet ﷺ. Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum, as Allah says, today I have perfected for you your religion. Allah has made it perfect. So there's no need to add or subtract or to change from the law of Allah. It is perfect the way it is. For until the Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is the final law that Allah sent down. And it's kufr to think that this law is not applicable, or it is not even to think it is not the best judgment. For somebody to think there's another judgment that could be better than the judgment of Allah, then this is a type of kufr in the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he's denying the revelation, the wahi. Because these laws are from the wahi, the revelation of Allah. If Allah sent down these laws, could Allah be forgetful? Could Allah be mistaken? A'udhu billah. So this is a matter of aqidah, that we cannot allow any human opinion to take precedence over the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not mean that the scholars are saying their opinions. The scholars, they don't say their opinions. They convey the knowledge that they learned from their ulama. So if it's a person's own private opinion, and he says that, then we don't pay any attention to that. We only follow the ruling of Allah. But the ulama, what they are to do is not convey any personal opinions. They can only convey what they have learned from their ulama. And that way they pass on or carry on the risala from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This chapter here, beloved brothers in Islam, is called Whoever Denies Any of the Names and Attributes of Allah. This is also a type of corruption of Tawheed. basically all of these chapters were, this is chapter number 40, subhanAllah, the 1 through 39, they were describing to us what is Tawheed and what are the things that negate the Tawheed, the Iman, the faith and the oneness of Allah. So here, by denying one of the names of Allah or one of His attributes, then this is a corruption of the belief in of the oneness of Allah. And let's read some of the examples or the ayahs in the Quran in the remaining time, inshaAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَهُمْ يَكْفُرُونَ بِالرَّحْمَنِ. This is in Surah Al-Ra'd. And they disbelieve in Ar-Rahman. Who is they? Brother Khalid? Who is the ones who disbelieve in the Rahman? The Mushrikeen. The Mushrikeen. And notice how the Mushrikeen, they believed in Allah, but they didn't believe in Ar-Rahman. See, they if you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they say Allah. But they deny that Allah has the name Ar-Rahman, this quality. And even when the Prophet wrote the Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, they said, we know Allah, but we don't know Rahman. You know, and they said to take it out. So Rahman, they didn't believe that Rahman is one of the names and attributes of Allah. So this is kufr on their part. It's a disbelief in Allah because one has to believe in all the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, so denying that name prevented them from becoming Muslim. They would not be in Islam because they denied that Allah is Ar-Rahman. And that's one of Allah's attributes. Then we have another text here, which is narrated by Abdul Razak from Ta'us, from his father, that he heard Ibn Abbas say that he saw a man objecting and showing displeasure when he heard a hadith of the Prophet regarding the attributes of Allah. Does everybody know what the attributes of Allah are? Like, for example, the face of Allah, His hand, His shin on the Day of Judgment, His foot. These things, when a man heard these attributes, he became angry and upset. Like, he didn't believe in them, or he showed displeasure from them. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, what is wrong with these people? What is wrong with these people? They are agreeable when it comes to the muhkamat, and they perish when it comes to the mutashabih. End quote. Okay, so what does this mean here? These people, when it comes to a clear text, they believe in those things. Allah created the heavens and the earth. The muhkamat are the verses in the Quran that are only have one interpretation, one meaning that's clear, unambiguous. But when it comes to the ambiguous verses, like for example the verse that says Allah's face or Allah's hand, then they disbelieve in those things and they perish. This is what the text is saying. They agree when it's a clear verse, but when it comes to the attributes of Allah that their mind cannot comprehend, how can Allah have a face? What does His face look like? Our minds can never understand these attributes, right? Allah is so great, His attributes are infinite and perfect. So since they cannot comprehend it with their minds, they reject it. They say, Allah cannot have a face. He cannot have a hand. Because I can't imagine how this could be. And this is, again, corruption in Tawheed. Because all of Allah's attributes, we have to believe in them. If Allah says He has a hand, who are we to say He doesn't have a hand? How is Allah's hand? We don't know. Kayf? How? The how is not within our ability to understand. But we do believe that He has these attributes, because He said it Himself. Who knows more about Allah than Himself? Who knows more about Allah than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Would the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that Allah has a face and he was mistaken?
No.
And so we must believe in the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described Allah with without trying to interpret the how. This is called tafweed. Tafweed means we leave it up to Allah. We believe in it. We don't just say the words on paper, we don't know what it means. It has a meaning. There's no doubt Allah doesn't put anything in the Quran except it's haqq. But how, we leave it up to Allah. This is called in Arabic tafweed. Tafweed when you leave it to somebody else. To know the reality of it, the kayfiyah of it, we leave it to Allah. Do we believe in it? Yes. Alif Lam Mim, we believe in it. It's part of the Quran. It's the perfect words of Allah. How? What is the exact meaning of it? We leave it to Allah's best knowledge. But we can try to understand, and many of the ulama, they do try to understand. We don't say it doesn't have any meaning.
Of course it does.
Some people, they say, they think that. They say, Alif Lam Mim, oh, it doesn't mean anything. That's completely wrong. Alif Lam Mim has a meaning. There's not a letter in the Quran except it has a great meaning. But the true and real meaning for it,
we don't know.
We cannot say for certain, because that kind of knowledge is only given to some people that Allah has chosen. And this is called, again, the mutashabihat. Mutashabihat are the ambiguous verses of the Quran, that the meaning is not one meaning, could be multiple interpretations. So we believe in these verses, but we don't claim to know the correct way that, or the correct understanding of it. That clear?
Yeah.
Up to here? So here is the statement of Abdul Razak from Taus, that his father said that Ibn Abbas said that he saw a man objecting and showing displeasure when he heard a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ about the attributes of Allah. Okay, so Ibn Abbas, somebody was narrating a hadith about the attributes of Allah, and Ibn Abbas saw that man becoming upset. And so Ibn Abbas said, excuse me, this is the words of Ibn Abbas, he said, what is the problem with these people? They're happy when it comes to the clear verses, but they perish when it comes to the ambiguous verse. No, end quote. So this is the words of Ibn Abbas, and he's showing that we must believe in even the ambiguous verses and not become upset or angry about them. And finally, there's one more hadith here. And when the Quraysh heard the Prophet ﷺ mentioning Ar-Rahman, they rejected that. So it was said about them that Allah revealed, and they reject the Rahman. وَهُمْ يَكْفُرُونَ بِالرَّحْمَانِ. Okay, so that was the Quraysh when Allah said they committed kufr when they didn't want to believe in the name Ar-Rahman. So what can we quickly, in the last couple minutes we have, summarize? What do we learn from this chapter? One is that by denying any of the names and attributes of Allah, we are neglecting or lacking in our tawheed. And it's an absence of faith in Iman. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman Sa'adi, he says that belief in Allah's names and His attributes, belief in Allah and His names and attributes is the foundation of Islam. Believing in Allah's names and attributes and believing in Allah, that's the foundation of our Iman. So a person, when they have more knowledge of Allah's names and His attributes, and they get closer to Him by worshipping Him through these names, then they increase their Iman. They become stronger in faith, and they realize that He is the only one who has these perfect attributes. Nobody else can have these perfect names and attributes. He is the beautiful, the majestic, the splendorous, and there's no comparison to Him. Then the more he learns about these names and attributes, the more he realizes his belief in Allah, his tawheed, his iman. The more he learns these descriptions of Allah, the more it perfects his iman and his tawheed, and he denies that those attributes from anyone other than Allah. Somebody learns the name Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Ghafoor, Al-Wadud, Al-Qawi, Al-Aziz, and then Laysa Kamithlihi Shay'un. Sami al-Basir, he hears, he sees, he's the Haqq, the Musawwir. They learn these names, his attributes, the attributes of Allah, that he will that he will bear his shin on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, that he will stomp on the hellfire, that he will show his face to the people of paradise. When you learn these attributes, it perfects the iman. It makes one complete in their tawheed. Now, for whoever denies those attributes, in turn, what does that do to their tawheed? They're negating aspects of their tawheed. The more of the names and attributes they deny, the more their tawheed is corrupted, the more their belief in Allah is corrupted, and the more they go into kufr and disbelief. So that's basically the lesson of this chapter, inshallah. So we'll take a break here unless there's any questions. Yes, brother.
Rahim is merciful.
Rahim and Rahman are two of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, Ar-Rahman. Good, I'm glad that you asked them. Ar-Rahman means the one who is the source of all mercy. Walaikum salam. He's the source of all love and all mercy. And no one in creation can use the name Rahman. It is not allowed to give any person the name Ar-Rahman. Only Allah has that attribute, the source of love and mercy.
Like name Abdur-Rahman.
Abdur-Rahman. Servant of the Rahman. But somebody say, I am Ar-Rahman, that's kufr. Because only Allah has the attribute of Rahman. He's the source of Rahman. And sometimes he says, Allah created His mercy in 100 parts. 90, one part He put in this dunya, and the animals and the creatures, they show mercy to each other. And 99 parts He saved for the Yawm al-Qiyamah. So He's Ar-Rahman. And His Rahmah encompasses all of creation. Animals, plants, Muslims, kuffar. That's Rahman. And some people, they say Rahman refers to Allah's general mercy for all of His creation. And Rahim, it refers to Allah's specific mercy only for the believers. When Allah will show the Rahmah on the Day of Judgment to the believers in the Akhirah, that's His Rahim. He's Rahim. And it's allowed to call another person Rahim. I could say, Suhail is Rahim. It's okay, it means He's kind, He's forgiving, He's merciful. But Rahman is only an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah.
Yes.
If they call Him, or if they call Allah, or if they, the Catholic, the Muslims call Allah Ar-Rahman, how can the Catholic people deny that He is merciful and the source of all mercy and loving?
No. They didn't believe in that attribute. That wasn't in their tradition or in their understanding. They didn't know that Allah is Rahman. Maybe they thought Allah is only the Creator, Khaliq. And many people are like this. If you ask a Christian or a Jew, what are the attributes of Allah? Some of them might say He's the Creator, but what other attributes they might not know. You know, they have some attributes in the Bible that are unbefitting of Allah.
Yeah.
You know, they say things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He regretted creating Adam. They say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He took a human form. You know, they describe Allah in a human form. These are attributes that are not befitting of Allah's perfection. So, every religion has their own description of Allah. In Islam, Allah has revealed about Himself the perfect description. So we don't have to guess. We don't have to use our own opinions to say, I think Allah is this, I think Allah. No, it's not up to our thinking. It is what Prophet Muhammad taught us. That's it. Prophet Muhammad described Allah to us. So the Arabs of that time, they were on a corrupt faith. Originally they were following Ibrahim, but over the years went by and they corrupted the names of Allah. And in fact, some of their idols were originally names of Allah, but they corrupted it. So for example, Al-Lat comes from Allah. They made the Ta on the end. Al-Uzza came from Al-Izza, Al-Aziz. They took the names of Allah and they made them into idols. No. So you know, the same thing that you have in other religions. For example, in Buddhism, they don't believe in Khaliq. They believe in it. They have some concept of a God or Buddha. Right, but they don't believe that Allah is the creator. They believe that this universe is eternal and there was no creator. So any, as you can see how every religion that is man-made or corrupted, they deny certain attributes and they give attributes to Allah that don't belong to Him. Only in Islam, we stick to only what the Prophet ﷺ taught us through revelation. We don't add anything. It's not allowed. It's haram to give Allah a name that is not found in the Quran and Sunnah. We cannot innovate names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has other names that Allah has kept hidden in the ghayb. Istaghfarta fil ghaybi indak. In some of the du'as, we ask you by every name that you have taught anything of your creation, or you've hidden in your unseen. And only Prophet Muhammad will be revealed these names on the Day of Judgment, when he goes to make sajda in front of Allah's throne, and he's making sajda a long time. Allah will reveal to him names and attributes, and the Prophet will praise Allah so much by these names and attributes that Allah will, after that, say, rise up and intercede. Make the intercession to begin the Yawm al-Qiyamah, and then he will ask Allah to begin the intercession, and the Day of Judgment will begin. So, those names only are known in the ghayb. None of the creation knows all of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, good, JazakAllah khair, good question. Any other questions, inshallah? Inshallah? Okay. Any questions, okay? Alright, we'll take a break, inshallah. Maybe start in about 20 minutes or so, inshallah. JazakAllah khair, assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه وسلم أسأل الله أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى اللهم صل على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد respected brothers in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته welcome back inshallah for the next part of our lesson in Kitab al-Tawheed. In the previous lesson we were talking about the chapter number 40 where the Shaykh mentioned that believing in the Allah and believing in His names, believing in His attributes are the foundations of Tawheed. Therefore, anybody who denies one of the names or attributes of Allah, then they have corrupted, they have made shirk in Allah, and they have nullified their Tawheed. The next chapter is قول الله تعالى يَعْرِفُونَ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يُنْكِرُونَهَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran regarding some people, they recognize or they realize the blessings of Allah, but they deny them. They deny the blessings of Allah. Now, so here Mujahid, he was explaining the meaning of this ayah. What does this ayah mean? He said the meaning of this ayah is when a person says, this is my money, this is my money, I inherited it from my fathers. What did he do? He's attributing, he said, this is my money, I got it from my father. He didn't say this is a blessing from Allah. Exactly. He did not, they know that this is a blessing, but they attribute it to their own selves. I earned it, I got it. This is from my fathers. They don't say that this Allah blessed me with this. Well, they don't attribute the blessing to Allah. That's the interpretation of Mujahid. Aun ibn Abdullah, he said, they say regarding this ayah that they recognize the blessings of Allah, but they deny them. They say, if it were not for such and such a person, it wouldn't have been like this. يَقُولُونَ لَوْلَا فُلَانْ لَمْ يَكُنْ كَذَا So again, they're attributing like something good happened to them, and they say, it was because of this person these good things happened. If it wasn't for him, we would have never had these good things.
This good person is Allah, or that person is Allah.
Yes. Instead of saying, like, say for example,
because of the help of Allah.
Yes, yes. Say for example, a person they were very poor. And then a person comes and gives them a lot of money. So then they say, if it wasn't for this person, I would have been poor. You know, this person saved me. But yes, they should attribute the blessing to Allah. Allah sent this person to help me. Allah caused this blessing for me. Not to say it lola, because in Arabic lola, what it means is if it were not for. That means if that person had not come, I would have never gotten the blessing. But if Allah wrote the blessing for you, whether it's this person or another person, it's going to come to you, right? So one should not attribute it, say that it was, if it wasn't for my boss, I would have no money. Does your boss give you a risk? Or is it Allah? Yes. So again, what we have to do,
if you're a lion, your boss, you're going to get
the yes. Yes. You know, because it's not the boss that provides your risk for it. Maybe the boss signs your check, yes. But in the end, the ni'mah, the risk, is from Allah. The blessing is from Allah. In fact, all blessing, not just money, food, clothing, life, health. If somebody says, if it wasn't for the doctor, I would be dead.
Allah saved you from...
Right? The doctor gave you the healing. Yes, he was the means, but Allah, he's the one who chose for you to give you more life. It's not the doctor that can cure you. If Allah doesn't write it for you, it's Allah who cures. But he uses the doctor, and he commanded us to take the means for the shifa, for the cure. But we shouldn't say that the doctor cured the person. Because the same doctor could have been another person, couldn't cure him. So if the cure was in the hands of the doctor, why is he able to cure this person who has the disease, and the same disease, and another person is not able to cure him? So that means it's not the doctor who cures, Allah. But the doctor is the means that Allah, he gives the shifa to people. Right? You know, if you go to a doctor, is the doctor make you better when you're sick, or does Allah make you better? Allah, that's right. That's great, yes. And when we get sick, who should we call on? Who should we pray to heal us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's right. We should call on Allah. That's right. Because Allah is the one who can cure any disease. Any disease. Allah is so powerful. And everything is in His hands. There's nothing that is beyond Allah's ability, because He's a Shafi. In the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Anta Shafi, you are the one who cures." Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Allah is the Shafi." Good, very good, Mahmoud. Yes, let's read the next hadith together, or the next commentary. This was by Ibn Qutaybah, and he said that those people who deny that Allah's blessings, they say, "This is due." هَذَا بِشَفَاعَةِ آلِهَتِنَا. This is due to the intercession of our gods. That's even worse. Some people, when they get a blessing, say they have a good crop. So many apples, or so many cherries, or wheat. They say, oh, this is because of our God. It interceded. We worship this God of the rain, and because of that God of the rain, we got so much rain, and this is the worst. Of course, a very obvious kind of shirk. They don't attribute the blessing to Allah, but to their gods. Okay, so here, Abu al-Abbas, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and there's a hadith that we read previously, when some of the Sahaba, in the morning time, the Prophet said to them, he prayed Fajr. And then he turned around and he said, you know what Allah has said? They said, what, O Messenger of Allah? He said, Allah has said, this morning some of my servants believed in me and others have disbelieved in me. Some of my servants believed in me, some of them disbelieved in me. And then he explained, and then Allah says, those people, the believers, they said, we receive the rain because of Allah. But the people who disbelieved in me, they said, we got the rain because of the stars. They had something called some constellation. They thought that when the stars take a certain position, then those stars bring the rain, something like that, or the moon. I don't recall. It's either the stars or, yes, the stars. They say the reason it rained is because of these stars, not because of Allah. So Allah said they disbelieved in me and they believed in the stars. This hadith is narrated in Bukhari and Muslim. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says that many, many places in the Quran and the Sunnah, Allah rebukes anyone who attributes his favors to other than him, making them partners to Allah. When Allah sends down a good rain that gives us so much crops and things, if we attribute that to other than Allah, somebody says, Mother Nature sent us this rain. That's shirk. If they believe that Mother Nature really exists besides Allah, that's shirk. Mother Nature is actually Allah. That what they call Mother Nature, which brings the rain and brings the sun and the moon and all these things, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not Mother Nature. Now,
they say Mother Nature created this
world. Why?
Because they don't want to say Allah. They don't want to say God. They have to come up with some explanation. Because there's no doubt there's a power and control of the weather, and all of these things are not happening in random. They have such a perfect system. You know, when you see the newborn birds, how the mother, she stands there over the eggs for weeks and weeks, and then takes care of the children. They follow the mother. They learn how to eat and drink. As soon as they're born, you know, the babies, like a baby kitten, immediately it knows to go and drink the breast milk. A newborn baby, for example. As soon as the newborn baby is born, if the mother takes the baby to the breast, he knows how to drink. He starts to drink right away. Who taught the baby how to drink the milk? This is all things that show the power of Allah. Yes?
I read this in the book over there, that a baby learns how to suck milk from the breast milk, because in the womb he sucks his thumb. Mm-hmm.
That's not why he learned, that's not how he learned it. Because why was he trying to suck his thumb? Because Allah has given him the inclination to want to suck on something. That's why children, they like to put things in their mouth, because Allah has given them that inclination to drink from the breast of the mother. This is one example. There's so many examples, all of creation. When you look at the wind and the rain, the how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he gives life to the earth, the seasons, when the spring comes and the flowers and the things die. These are all blessings of Allah that we should not attribute to any other thing other than Allah. Mother Nature is just another word for Allah or God, but they don't like to say the word God. One example that you ask them, how come we have so many varieties in the creation, so many colors? You look at the bees, they go, the flowers are of so many different colors. Not just one color every flower, so many varieties. Even animals, birds, you see the plume, the feathers on a bird, so many colors. It could have easily been one color, the bird. But Allah has created, even in sometimes in one bird, dozens or hundreds of colors. Who created the animals in this perfect way? We say Allah. The disbelievers, they say Mother Nature. No. Okay. Now, some of the Salaf, they said that the person who makes partners with Allah, Ibn Taymiyyah, he says that Allah rebukes those people who deny His blessings in the Quran. And some of the Salaf, they say an example of that is when somebody says the wind was good. The wind, it was good. The wind brought us goodness. Or they say that the navigator, the pilot or the captain of the ship was so proficient, he was so good. And these are common on the tongues of many people. See, when the wind comes, some people say that's a good wind, that's a bad wind. This is good weather, that's bad weather. But actually, if we think about it, all the weather is from Allah. If Allah gives us nice weather that we enjoy, that's if we do good. If we do sins, then we have the storms and the punishment. But we shouldn't say the wind was good and that's a bad wind. No, the winds are armies of Allah. They're following Allah's commandments. If the wind brings us goodness, then this we should thank Allah. And we shouldn't say the wind was good, we should say that Allah brought us a gentle wind. Allah brought us a good wind. We shouldn't say that was an evil wind. The wind is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people say the weather is horrible today. We don't pay attention, but the tongue, we're used to saying these things, and we don't even realize that what we're saying is something very harmful, something very bad. Well, it's not as being a critic. It could be kufr. Because this is part of tawheed, it could affect a person's tawheed. If he but here the Shaykh is going to explain in detail about it, because sometimes people say things on the tongue without believing it, which is dangerous, but it doesn't go to kufr. Some people say it and it is actually kufr. So here, the people who say, you know, the navigator, we were saved because the navigator was so good, like the captain of the ship. Say there's a big storm, right? Or there's a big storm and the plane is flying, the pilot is flying, and then the wind is blowing and people are scared. What's going to happen? Are we going to survive? Is the ship or the plane going to make it safely? When the plane lands and they make it home safely or they arrive safely, what do they say? Oh, we were saved because the pilot was so skillful. Is that right to say that? This pilot was a very proficient pilot. He did a good job. That's why we were saved. Or, they say, the wind was a good wind. This was a good wind. So, if they get something pleasuresome, they say the wind is good. Otherwise, they say the wind is evil. We should not attribute good and evil to the wind. Because the wind is from Allah. No, we should attribute things to the causer of these events. Now, if we're saved from a storm, we should say Allah saved us from the storm. Alhamdulillah. Exactly. Alhamdulillah is a very good exact statement to say in such an instance. So here, what do we learn from this chapter? Shaykh As-Sa'di rahimahullah, he says that Allah, the chapter is, they recognize Allah's favors, then they reject them. Most of them are disbelievers. This is in Surah Nahl. So Shaykh As-Sa'di, he says, it is obligatory for all of the creatures to attribute the favors to Allah. They should attribute all the favors to Allah, both in saying and in recognition. And with this, Tawheed is completed. Okay? What is he saying? When you see a blessing, not only do you recognize it mentally, that this is from Allah, but even the words we use should be proper words. We should say that this is from Allah. Say somebody got a blessing of a child. They know that a healthy child is a blessing from Allah, but then they say, thanks to the doctor, we got a healthy child. See the words he used?
Allah.
He might not realize it. This is the danger. He might not realize it, but he's not attributing the blessing to Allah. So not only in our heart, but also on our tongues, we should have the acknowledgement of Allah's blessing. And then the Shaykh, he says, whoever rejects Allah's favor, either by his heart or by his tongue, then that person is a disbeliever. Nothing of the religion remains in him. So somebody, they reject Allah's favors, His blessings. In their heart, they don't thank Allah. They don't think it's from Allah at all. You know, that's disbelief. Or they say something that means that this wasn't from Allah. This was from some worldly, some other cause. And then he has rejected, he's been the disbelief. But now, that means that on his tongue, he's disbelieving, you know, with his heart and his tongue. But what about in his heart, he acknowledges in his heart that all the favors are from Allah alone. He knows that, without a doubt. But sometimes, occasionally, not like all the time, but sometimes he attributes a favor to Allah. And sometimes he attributes it to himself or his work. Not a state of a person who is always attributing blessings to the dunya or to worldly causes, to himself or to his effort or for other people. That one, the person is clearly kafir. But say a person knows in his heart that everything is good, a blessing from Allah, and sometimes he says, Alhamdulillah, this is from Allah, but sometimes he says, this is due to my hard work. This is due to the, you know, this person who helped me. And this is common on the tongues of a lot of people. They might say this, you know, thanks to, they don't say thanks to God, thanks to the policeman, I was saved from the criminal. This is going to come actually in the next chapter. That is a false, that is a wrong statement to say those things. And it's very common on the tongues of people. So the Shaykh said, such a person is obligatory to repent from saying those things and to stop claiming that the favors come from anyone besides the one who's worthy of it. And he must struggle with himself. He must make mujahada to always attribute the favors to Allah, even with his tongue, even if he knows in his heart. But even on the tongue, he should be careful to say that this is from myself, or this is from such a person, or this is due to my work.
Yes. Well, one thing is that we can acknowledge the person, whoever is like helping us, let's say somebody help us, then we can say to him thank you, but of course it is due to Allah's blessing.
Thanks is different than attributing the cause.
Yes.
There's two things here. Because giving thanks to people is from the Sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever does not show gratitude to the people has not shown gratitude to Allah. So if a person comes and he gives you a present, you say thank you. But you say this present is from, it's Alhamdulillah, the blessing from Allah. Your car broke down on the street, you needed help desperately for you to help you. Somebody stops by, thank you very much for helping me. Alhamdulillah, who sent you to help me. We should always recognize who the bringer of the favors is. We should recognize Allah's bounty. Okay, and then the Shaykh, he says that iman will not be fulfilled without realizing that the favors are from Allah, both in saying and in thinking. We should say it on the tongue and think it out. And so, what is shukr? True shukr. What is true gratitude? He said, gratitude to Allah is the foundation of iman. Foundation of iman is being grateful to Allah for His blessing. Kufr, on the other hand, it means being ungrateful. So by being grateful to Allah, this is the head of iman. But how do we truly show gratitude to Allah? There's three things. Three things. Number one is recognizing the blessing is from Allah. All our blessings, our life, our breathing, our everything, all the blessings are from Allah. It's only Him that grants the favors. Number two is to say the thanks on one's tongue. When we attribute things, we should always say Alhamdulillah, thanks to Allah. And number three is using the blessings in the way that it pleases the one who gave it to us. This is a very important point that many people miss. Part of shukr, if we're really grateful to Allah, are we going to use His blessings in a way that He dislikes? Is that true thankfulness to Allah?
No.
Allah gives you your health. He gives you a health. And you say, I'm grateful to Allah, He gave me good health. But then a person, they smoke, for example. And they say, I'm grateful to Allah, but then they do an action which is displeasing to Allah. So then in that case, they're not truly fulfilling to gratitude. If they realize my health is from Allah, Alhamdulillah, they've done two steps. But the third step is to use that blessing in a way that is pleasing to the one who gave it to us. So when Allah gives us any blessing, we have to use it to obey Him and to worship Him. Sometimes Allah will give a person a lot of wealth. So He says, he first of all, he should recognize this wealth came to me not by my power, but from Allah. Number two, he should tell people, Alhamdulillah. He should not attribute this wealth is from my inheritance. I earned it. This is my hard work. This is due to, you know, my parents leaving it for me. He should always say, Alhamdulillah, it's from Allah. And number three, number three is use that money. Don't use that money to disobey Allah. No. Alright. Jazakallah khair. Can somebody tell me the three steps to show gratitude to Allah? I think we mentioned a couple times.
Using the Allah's blessings in a good way.
Using it to obey Him in a way that pleases Him. That's the third one.
Not to say because of this person, but instead say because of Allah.
Yes, always, even the way when we talk, we should always thank Allah for it.
And having no doubts in Allah.
And not attributing, you know, in the belief, in the iman, believing that only Allah's, the favors only come from Allah. Not do it to ourselves. Inshallah. Alright, any questions up to here? Do you have any questions?
Do you have any questions with me?
No, sir.
Yes.
Okay, somebody, like, for example, somebody was lost. I mean, this is like a kafir. And they always do this. Like, they're lost in the desert. And they have no food or water. They're just lost. They're just, they only have their clothes on. And that's all they have, right? So they're lost, and they say, "God save me." 3 seconds
that's
later, they find a way to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And when they get there, they say, "When something bad happens, then they say, like, oh Allah, why me? Why? Why did they do this?"
Yes, that's a very good question that you asked. Is that a lot of times people will show gratitude to Allah when they're blessed, but when they're not blessed, then they show displeasure to Allah's decree. And that's also wrong to do that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not wrong anybody. Allah is the most just. If anything happens to us, we should recognize that it's due to our own shortcomings. We should never blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what happens. Because Allah does not wrong anybody. Allah is the most just. If something happened, it's part of Allah's destiny and decree, due to His plan, and we should be patient with that, which we covered in the previous chapter, that whatever harm comes to a believer, they have to have patience with the decree of Allah. That was actually the previous lesson about, that was about patience with Allah's decree.
Like he has something, God has a plan to change our course, and He's putting us on the right path.
A lot of times the hardships and the tribulations, not a lot, a lot of times, all the time, the hardships that come to us, it's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hardships that come to us is a test. You know, Allah's testing us, are we going to have iman? Are we going to be patient? Allah says in the Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. We will test you with a lack of, with fear and hunger and loss of wealth and life. the thamarat and fruits, وبشر الصابرين, and give the good tidings to those who have patience. Huh? So Allah here is speaking to the believers.
Yes.
So because he in the next ayah he praises them. They, those who say when they're afflicted by a tribulation, what do they say? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Allah and to Him we return. They don't say anything bad. They only say what is good. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ عَلَيْهِمْ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. Those people, Allah will send His prayers of mercy upon them and forgive them. And they are the ones who are وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُحْتَدُونَ. They are the ones who are rightly guided. Huh? So, you know, these are tests from Allah. And to see if we're going to have patience. Because, you know, we know everything is from Allah. And so we don't blame Allah, we blame ourselves, and we try to keep patient, inshallah.
Can I have a copy of that azan?
Yeah, inshallah. One last point, and this is the summary of the Shaykh said that we have to make mujahada to remove these phrases from our tongue. Because we get used to these things, saying, attributing the blessings to the creation. And saying that this was due to somebody interceded on my behalf, or saying that this is due to my own efforts, due to my hard work. Because of my hard work, I got this promotion. Or because of such and such a person's hard work, these great blessings happen. We should not say that. We have to make mujahada to make our tongues say things that are pleasing to Allah always, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah help us to do that and give us perfection of our tawheed, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakallah khair. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.